says, amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me? I don't think I'll... I hope I never get over that song. Amen. To think that the one who created everything would lay down his life for each one of us. You know, it's easy when you have a restaurant reservation and you know you have a big family affair and everybody shows up to the restaurant and you're like, oh, reservation's for 30. And you have the back room reserved and you're all filed in there and the hostess never sees everybody. They can't. There's 30 people. But then you have a God who created all things, everything. The billions and billions of people that are alive now or have been alive and who are yet to be born, he knows each one of them individually. I don't know how it can be, because I know if I created something, I think I would feel like I am the master of it. You know, I don't create much. I'm not very good with my hands. Trying to think of something I have created. A sandwich. That's... Yeah. Something tangible that I can show you that I created is a sandwich. Just the other day, I created a turkey and ham sandwich. I created it. It was my sandwich. And I did with that sandwich as I pleased. I ate it. Now to think... If I created this sandwich and thought, you know what? I really like this sandwich. I want to make this sandwich my son. And everything that I have now belongs to this sandwich. So my house, we own a house. This house now, since I created this sandwich, it belongs to the sandwich. Everything I own belongs to a sandwich. That's pretty crazy to think about, right? When you put it in terms like that, a sandwich. And it's just as crazy that God, the ruler of all things, the one who just says, I don't even think he needs to say, the one who just thinks and it's done instantly, wants you and wants me. He's given all power to a ham sandwich. No. He's everything is his, and he says, hey, if you are like me, everything is yours. That's pretty crazy to think about. So this is, what is this? This is Independence Day Eve, right? So July 4th, Independence Day. What do we celebrate? Our independence from
tyranny,
right? So I know it was a long time ago, and a lot of times I can't even remember what happened yesterday. But back in the 1700s, right? July 4th, 1776, we declared our independence. And what was happening during that time? You know, our country was established. We had a bunch of people here. And we were just getting stomped on, basically, by a king. And all his... military, basically. He was allowing the soldiers to come in, the British army could come into your house, take whatever they wanted, in a lot of cases, kill you if they wanted to, and there's nothing that you could do about it. There was no recourse. Also, a big thing was the king's religion. You know, the king in, I don't know much about English culture and things. I think the most I've watched is like this coronation or whatever you call the thing, and where the king now is, and the queen is gone. Anyway, but I do know that the king is the head of the church in England. And that's another thing. So whatever the king said, whatever, however he, I guess, interpreted the Bible, that's a loose word right there. Whatever he said had to go, right? So if you wanted to worship your God and your creator a certain way, if it went against him, he won. So a group of people got together and said, you know what, this isn't right. We need to declare our independence. So we wrote up a letter and we sent it over to England. And he said, oh, you know what, you're right. Cool, you can have your own space. We'll stay over here, you stay over there. And that was it, right? Not even close. When we declared our independence on July 4, 1776, that is not when everything was hunky-dory and we went out and cooked up hot dogs on the grill. Right? There's always been hot dogs from the beginning of time. No.
And mustard.
No. But no, that is basically, I mean, there was already fighting going on, but that just intensified it. That was a public acknowledgement by a group of colonists saying, hey, we don't want you anymore. We're forming our own country. And these are the reasons why. You know, on the Declaration of Independence, I don't know it by memory, but I do know that in there, they didn't just say, hey, we want to be our own country. They listed the reasons why they now need to be governed by themselves. And if you read down through there, I'm trying to remember some of the things, but I do know, like, the one of them was the military. They were allowed to just come into your house, like I said, and take whatever they wanted. Taxed. We had to pay a bunch of taxes, but yet had no representation in their, I don't know what they call it, house, parliament, whatever it is, their governing body. So we were having to pay even more. Almost, it's pretty much like a tribute, basically, because if you don't have representation, that's basically what it is. We were paying the British government a whole bunch of money of ours, but yet getting walked on. So a bunch of guys got together, like I said, and they declared, hey, this isn't right. This is the reasons why. Even in that, they even listed, we're going to list all these reasons why. That way everybody in the whole world and anybody that reads this knows why we had to do this. You know, it wasn't just the, hey, you know what? I'm 13 now. I'm a teenager, and I know more than you, Dad, so I'm going on my own. You know, it wasn't something like that. They didn't want their declaration to be misinterpreted or misrepresented. So they specifically listed the reasons why they were doing it. Not only told the world, but that also told everybody here, hey, this is why we need to be independent. They declared independence and independence from Britain because we wanted freedom. And freedom is at times a vague term. What does freedom mean? Obviously, to be free of something, you had to be bound by something. So we were in our American history, obviously we were bound by British rule, and we were declaring our freedom from that British rule. It was a public declaration. So true freedom would mean that you can do whatever you want. You have free will to do whatever you want. And I'll tell you that you were created to have true freedom, to do whatever you want. However, because of the fall, our bodies now will always choose to go against what we were created for. So with that true freedom, it comes a caveat. If we were Jesus, if we were Adam before the fall, we could do whatever we wanted. Why is that? So, what's that? Exactly. So, and my wife's going to laugh at me because I don't know how I do it, but every time I talk really about anything, I always go back to Genesis. Somehow, it all, I don't know why. I do know why. That's the beginning, right? If you want to get to the meaning of something, you got to go back to the beginning. So, you know, God created everything. That's what the beginning of Genesis is talking about. He's showing how long it took. And then he creates man, right? And he breathes his breath into man. And now he's allowing man, trying to see where it is here. So he gives man, it's in Genesis 2, but he gives man basically all rule of the garden, right? He created him, saw that it was good, and he says, hi, Adam, you're now a man. This is the garden. This is everything that I created. Here you go. And God's plan was for his spirit to be all over the earth. That was his master plan, right? I don't know why he chose to create humans and put his spirit inside of them. I'm glad he did. Amen. So that's what he did. He created Adam. He breathed his breath into him, which was his spirit. But if God wanted His Spirit to be all over the world, Adam needed a helper. So God created from man woman, and now together they were able to bring God's Spirit all across the land and till the land and harvest the land. All these things that God created, if you read down through Genesis, it's telling you that He created all of the trees and the fruits and everything there. So, and He wanted man to maintain it. Also, all the animals that He created, He brought them to Adam and said, Adam, what are you going to call this? What should this be? Adam had true freedom. He could do whatever he wanted. Now, in the Bible, it doesn't tell us how long between the time that they were created to the time that they sinned. We have no idea. I don't know. It could be years. I'm sure it was. Because I'm sure when they were first put there, I'm sure it was massive. And how long does it take to name all the animals? I mean, you know? Yeah, I'm just at our house, we're walking around like, whoa, has that been there forever? I don't remember that. So Adam's probably walking around the garden like, wait, where'd you come from? All right, what am I going to call you? Right? So Adam had true freedom because Adam was created just like God. I'm not saying Adam was God, but he was created in the image of God. So Adam represented God. So Adam had to have true freedom. Adam would never go against God. There was no reason to. It was only when Adam's identity, and I'll say Adam and Eve's identity, were challenged. Now, obviously, if you've paid attention at all in the world, everyone's identities are being challenged. This is not something that's new. It's really not. I mean, they want to portray it as, hey, this is a new fight. It's never been a new fight. Your daily battle is your identity. You are created in the image of God. This whole Bible shows you your identity. Okay? So, we know that Adam and Eve were created. There was no such thing as sin. They didn't even know anything. And then what happens? This serpent comes along representing the devil, right? And he hates everything that has to do with God because he wanted to be God. He wanted to be the big guy, right? He thought he could. And he challenged him, and it wasn't even a fight. It probably was like the mosquito I flung off my shoulder last night. And we got tons of mosquitoes. Anyway. So the devil's down on earth, and he wants to make sure that this awesome new thing that God created that is in the image of God gets annihilated. He hates everything that is God. So what's he do? He comes up and starts questioning them, questioning their identity. Did God really say this? Why shouldn't you do this? You know, God had put in place some different rules. And those rules didn't restrict their freedom. Those rules exemplified their freedom. So, meaning, your true freedom and what you're created to be is over here. This over here, I'm going to tell you not to do this because it has nothing to do with you. That's going to bind you and make you a slave. It's not going to give you freedom. But, like we know, they gave in. They started listening to this other person, this other serpent, that said, did God really say this? Are you sure you can't do this? I'm guessing that he doesn't want you to do that because then you're going to be just as powerful as God. Now, we know that the devil doesn't believe that because if he believed it, he would have ate it himself. Right? That's what the devil was trying to do, was to be more powerful than God. So he knows. So then they, obviously, we know that Eve was deceived. Adam then chose to go along with Eve. And now sin has been introduced into mankind. And from that moment on, we no longer are born in true freedom. Now, as soon as we're here on earth, and we have, honestly, from the time you're little, you're going against the things that are of God, right? Take a toy away from a two-year-old, that's not going to be fun. You're going to hear it, they're going to scream and cry, and that's just, now after the fall, that's just life that we've introduced ourselves to. So what does it mean to have true freedom? Well, in John 8, John 8, we're going to see Jesus is speaking to church people. So about halfway through, you know, he's talking to all the church people. Jesus is warning them about not believing him and falling away. And they're just not, a lot of times in the Bible, you know, you read and who Jesus is talking to, they're just not getting it, right? Jesus is talking about things up here and they're just looking at what's in front of their face. So in John 8:31, as they're having this discussion back and forth, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, so Jesus is talking to the ones who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So in this group, he's talking to a group of people, a bunch of church people. And obviously there's two groups. There's the people that believe in Jesus, and there's the people that don't. So he said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." So in order to be a disciple of Jesus, to call yourself, truly to call yourself a Christian, you have to remain truthful to his teachings. Everything that's contained in this Bible, you have to remain faithful to it. Jesus said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What does that even mean? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Verse 34 says, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Okay, so we're talking about freedom. And we don't even know what we're being freed from. But he says, if you know the truth will set you free. And then he says, the Son, and Son meaning himself. So if Jesus sets you free, you are truly free. But what are we free from? So if you turn over to Romans 8, it's just a couple pages over. Actually, Romans 7. We're not going to read through Romans 7. I'll just sum it up. So in Romans 7, it's a whole chapter about struggling with sin, right? Like, it's the famous thing where you're like, what is this guy saying? I want to do what I don't want to do, and I do what I do, and I do this, and all these things. And you're going to have to slow down to try to figure out, what did he just say here? So, in 70, and Paul's talking about, we're no longer bound to the law. The law was created, and now the law is here. Why am I trying to go against the law? And did the law actually make me sin? Or is the law even good? And the law he's talking about is, in the Old Testament, the law, the Ten Commandments and the 600 and however many laws that were supplemented to the Ten Commandments. Yeah. So he's saying all these laws were written and given to us by God, and now I continually go against those. So was it the law that brought out the sin in me, or was it the law that now showed me that I'm sinning? So he's talking about this whole struggle with inner self. Now he's saying that God's revealing the sin to me. The law was created to show me, hey, I'm going against the things that God said I shouldn't do. Or here's the things I should do, and I'm going against those. So the law was created to show me, hey, you're not where you should be. So he's talking about the law, and now in Romans 8, he brings up, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So in this whole previous seven chapters, he's talking about being condemned by the law. So if the law says you can only drive 25 miles an hour on Main Street, and you drive 35, you're against the law, right? And for that law, there's a punishment, a speeding ticket. And various laws have different penalties. With sin, we know that all sins carry the ultimate punishment, and that's separation from God. Now, I know there's debates on, well, this, they said this one's even a worse sin. No, it doesn't matter. Sin is sin because if you're separated from God, it doesn't matter. Because God is so holy, nothing that has anything to do with sin can even withstand His holiness. So that's why you have to be separated from Him. So sin can be nowhere around His holiness. Even though there's all these laws, and even though we've, just by being born, have been contrary to them, through Jesus there is no more condemnation. In Romans 8:2, and because you belong to Him, the power of the living, life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. So that is what He's freeing us from. So when Jesus was saying, if you know the truth, the truth will set you free. The truth is Him. If you know Jesus, and to know Him, meaning have a relationship with Him, not just know about Him, but actually study Him, talk to Him, try to be more like Him. I shouldn't say try. Submit to Him, yeah. And allow Him to, through the Holy Spirit, mold you into something that looks more like Him. That's where true freedom comes from. That's the only way to have freedom, is to submit. It sounds like a contradiction, but the only way to have true freedom in your life is to become a slave to righteousness. God has always given us free will. Every day you have the freedom to do whatever you wish. To go against God or to go towards God. The only way that your life will make sense and that you'll find your true identity is if you allow the Holy Spirit to have your life. Everything is going to be a battle for your identity, to tell you who you are. And every time you run into something contrary to Jesus, you're going to come up empty. There's a push right now to redefine words and to challenge you on the things that you always thought were true. And that's never going to stop, and it's going to get worse. The only way to know what the truth is to read the Bible and have time set aside from the daily chaos to be with your God, be with your Father. There's always going to be challenges, and that's why He said He'll never leave you alone. You'll never be left alone to fight on your own. We can choose to be on our own, but He will never leave you, and He never hold your past against you. So true freedom is found in Him. And who He has set free from the bondage of sin, is free indeed. So do not let that, whatever you've already been freed from, try to recapture you. It does not have the authority to do so. Because if Jesus freed you, you are free. Amen? Amen. All right.